This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Affirm Films' Paul, Apostle of Christ, starring Jim Caviezel, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13, in theaters March 23rd. More information is available at paulmovie.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it!
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Well, in recent days, we have talked about Metro City Church in Michigan coming under siege for offering a workshop for teenage girls with sexual brokenness and sexual confusion and offering them the transforming hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for offering that ministry, the church has received from radical homosexual activists countless death threats. They've endured protests, both online and in person, and the threat that lawmakers should investigate the church for fraud and abuse. And as I've said, what they're doing to this church is what they want to do to every Christian and every church in ministry who dares to say that somebody can come out of the homosexual lifestyle and find freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, as it turns out, one of the same people who rallied the protest against Metro City Church is now trying to actually shut down an Oklahoma ministry devoted to ministering in Jesus' name to those with sexual brokenness. And there's a protest planned against the ministry on April 6th. And the ministry is the wonderful First Stone Ministries, run by my friend Stephen Black, who is also chairman of the board for Restored Hope Network. And so I asked Stephen if he would join us today to explain what's been going on and how the body of Christ can help him. Stephen came out of homosexuality himself many years ago. He's one of the most on-fire Christians I know. I had to throw that in there. And his latest book is called Freedom Realized, Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living a Life Free from Labels. Stephen, it is just great to welcome you back, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much, Janet.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk to you. I am really horrified at what's been going on for First Stone Ministries. Can you tell us what has taken place in the last few weeks for your ministry?
Yeah, I mean, this started back in November. Where, ironically, this person, this good kind of a team of women, they call themselves Mama Bears. Even back in October, they came to our book signing in open house and began communicating even then, this is a ministry that must be shut down, and that the book that I had written was just awful, and they're communicating that it is extremely shameful. Shameful in that it actually promotes the idea that the gospel of Jesus Christ is transformative and can change people's lives, as it did mine and hundreds of other people, with statistics showing that over 70% of the people that came through our ministry over 25 years found lasting freedom. So they're very angry over this. And then in November, we were planning on screening a documentary made by Carl Sutton and David Kyle Foster called Transformed with a Z instead of an S. And this is a documentary about 14 people who at one time were living as transgendered, and most of them had even gone through the surgery, the operations, and found an amazing experience with Jesus Christ that called them back to embrace their God-given gender. And they are extremely upset that we as a ministry are willing to screen this and communicate the gospel. Now, this should be very alarming to the church, because they have now ramped this up to include all churches and anyone that promotes the idea of the gospel under a rousing terminology called conversion therapy.
Right.
And this started back with people that even were part of Exodus meeting with the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a couple of years back, to give some history, that what would come out with the HRC and the Southern Poverty Law Center to attack the church at large is this ruse, this idea that ministries and even churches that would pray with people and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ Christ to draw people to have a sincere relationship with Jesus called discipleship, they're now labeling it conversion therapy. Now, what on earth is conversion therapy? None of us know what it is.
Right.
It's something that they have termed from something back in the 40s where whacked out psychiatry used to use electroshock therapy and water treatments and pain treatments to help the brain stop bad behavior. Nobody in our ministries offers this kind of help. But now these gay activists are actually communicating that anybody that is trying to help somebody overcome homosexuality, bisexuality, transsexuality, and what they call being queer, anyone trying to help them is now offering conversion therapy. So they're actually coming after the church. So they were able to get one church to be very alarmed at what we were offering, and basically the church said, "Well, we're not going to allow you to speak, and you can screen the movie, but you're not allowed to speak." And when I met with the elders, basically they didn't like my take on Ephesians 5:5 that included all sexually immoral people, and that they felt like, "Well, you shouldn't include gay people with that passage," which I was like, "That's a poor exegesis of the scripture."
Yeah.
But so it made it very clear I had to cancel it. Well, this woman in Oklahoma City, her name is Sarah Cunningham, and she even went online and is on videos, you know, saying, you know, that she's proudly happy that she was able to get the movie, the documentary, shut down. But actually, the behind the scenes story is, it was like, well, if we don't have a true welcoming church, then we're going to have to find somewhere else. So we rescheduled for April 6th, and we're going to be rescreening Transformed, and now they're calling for a protest, and they have vowed, this woman has vowed to shut down First Stone Ministry. She's real proud of herself. And this is the same person that stirred up 9,000 people on Facebook to come against the Metro City church pastor, Jeremy Schauser, in outside of Detroit. And this pastor and these people have endured ongoing, relentless harassment by LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
So this is what we're up against. And the church and church leaders better be taking note, because these people aren't going to stop.
I know.
Gay marriage is only put the fire behind these people to get anyone that does not accept their lifestyle to be shut down.
Well, here's the thing, Stephen. When you are describing what you've been going through, it reminds me of what I said a couple years ago, and I know a lot of us said this a couple years ago, and it was this. When they start going after banning conversion therapy, as you said, there is no such thing, but banning therapy for children on the basis that they are minors, and if they have any kind of sexual brokenness, they can't have therapy because it's harmful to minors, they're not going to stop there. The next thing they're going to do is try to stop therapy, secular therapy for adults. California is now trying to do that. And then it's going to end up in the church. And it seems we're now there. Is that a correct assessment?
It's a perfect assessment. I mean, people do not realize across the nation right now, California is facing that anyone, church, therapist, counselor, that would suggest that you can change your sexual orientation would be in trouble with the law. This is a new day. And so that means anyone that believes that homosexuality, that bisexuality, that any form of sexual acting out with members or more than one person would be considered sinful and egregious behavior, and they're even proudly calling itself queering or queer activity, that anyone that would be transsexual and want to operate in these behaviors that would suggest that there's a different way would be suspect and potentially fined and jailed.
Unbelievable. Well, this is exactly why we wanted to bring it to everybody's attention, Stephen, so we could pray for you and also inform ourselves, because it really is a tactic of intimidation. They not only want to shut down our ministry, they want to shut down the church on the issue of homosexuality, and we cannot stop obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to come back on Janet Mefford Today right after this. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I am honored to be partnering with the Ministry of Preborn to help moms choose life.
Actor Kirk Cameron supports Preborn.
My four oldest children were adopted. That is because of caring and compassionate people who help those young mothers choose life. My wife is an adopted child, and her birth mother chose life for her. If it weren't for those caring individuals that help those young moms value the sacredness of life, I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my four adopted children, and the two natural-born children that we have wouldn't exist either. My whole family is here because of people that are involved with ministries like Preborn.
Help moms choose life with Preborn. Your gift of $28 provides an abortion-minded mother a potentially life-saving ultrasound. $140 could save five babies. You can give now at 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229 or visit preborn.com. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org, and regain control over your healthcare costs. That number again, 855-585-4237 or libertyhealthshare.org. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. We're back on Janet Mefford Today. From Affirm Films comes Paul, Apostle of Christ, starring Jim Caviezel, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13, in theaters March 23rd. More information available at paulmovie.com. Well, Stephen Black is with us, Executive Director at First Stone Ministries, and also he is with the Restored Hope Network, a wonderful Christian. He's a former homosexual, been married for 30-some years, a dad, a grandfather, and just a wonderful Christian, and his ministry is under fire right now. They are going to be screening a documentary called Transformed, with a Z instead of an S, at a church in Moore, Oklahoma, on April 6th, and there are radical homosexual activists and allies who have now decided they're going to shut this ministry down because they reach out and give the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are struggling with sexual brokenness. Stephen, one of the things I wanted you to clear up for people is, as you well said, conversion therapy is something they throw around. Nobody is doing it. Nobody knows what it is. I've talked to secular therapists. I've talked to Christian therapists. Nobody is doing this, and yet they keep throwing the term around. So what is it that people will get if they come to First Stone Ministry and they say, I've been sexually abused, or I have sexual confusion, I think I'm gay, but I don't believe it's right? What are the things that you do for that person when that person comes to you for help that is not conversion therapy?
Well, great question, because what's important for people to understand is, even if parents bring in a minor, we will not even go through the process of trying to help somebody who doesn't want to be there. So the first thing people need to understand is, we are actually helping people that want to be there.
Right.
They have unwanted same-sex attraction, or they've lived a homosexual lifestyle and they have had some form of a calling from God, or they're just miserable in the way that they're living their life. They're either sexually addicted, or they're starting to come to terms with the fact that they were sexually abused as children. As we know statistically, that high percentages of people that live a gay identified life were sexually abused as children. And the survey in my book, over almost 60% of everybody, 55% of the males, and in years past, the numbers were 75 and 80% higher with females that were molested. So we know that causality of people that are coming out of homosexuality have a lot of pain and trauma. So when they first come to our ministry, we're actually going to say, this is a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this something you really want? Do you want to find a relationship deep and honoring with God? And if that's what they want, then we're there to unpack the pain and the sorrow, to talk through. And basically, it's just like any kind of counseling or pastoral care, that you talk through all the issues. Nobody's putting, you know, banging them over the head with the Bible or doing some kind of pain therapy. You know, that everything that they're communicating is a ruse out there.
Yeah.
Much of what all of our ministries do is what we call talk therapy, or just talking through and praying with and pointing people back to the Bible. And that's it. It's called pastoral care. It is what most churches would offer to anyone coming to want to process sin and pain in their lives. That's what we offer.
Exactly. And this is the thing that I keep going back to. They can argue all day long based on 1940s psychotherapy wackos who were doing things like electric shock therapy, that that is what you're doing. But the fact of the matter is, Stephen, you are a walking testimony for Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ in your life. So it's interesting to me that they demand tolerance in the LGBT community unless you come out of it, in which case they have to go after you because you didn't stay in the lifestyle. I mean, this is so transparent that what they're really after is shutting down the morality discussion, which is really what it comes down to.
That's exactly right. They do not want anyone to say that homosexuality and this behavior is destructive, which ironically, the unbiased CDC, the Center for Disease Control, actually has statistics and scientific data pointing that the median life expectancy of male homosexuals is like half of what it is for the normal male heterosexual. The levels of anxiety, depression, and disease for female homosexuals, but in male homosexuality, skyrocketing STDs, and quite frankly, their digestive system is just worn out and destroyed by the behavior. So the CDC, these unbiased just tracking of numbers, reveal conclusively that the homosexual lifestyle is destructive. If we had any kind of health hazard like the similar to what is going on in homosexuality, it would be be worse than what the tobacco industry has reported, and we would be saying this is something that we should be alarming our children from. Instead, it's now being promoted, and anyone that would dare to say that this is sinful or bad is being censored. All the censoring is taking place on Facebook,
yep,
and Twitter, and there is this ongoing message that gay is the only way in 9 states where youth are not allowed to get this kind of help, which is just, you know, talk therapy or what they call reparative therapy or counseling or pastoral care. We have 9 states now that have passed the laws that the homosexual activists have been able to say gay is the only way for children, period. And now they're wanting to do this in California to the entire state, no matter what age, in any way of offering counseling or help, gay is the only way. If this is not propaganda, of a tormented lifestyle, then what is?
Oh, I know. Well, and it seems to me, Stephen, now is the time when the church needs to stand up. I mean, we knew we were going to get to this point where they started going after Christians, Christian churches, and Christian ministries. Now they are. And on April 6th, they have set this protest that they're going to protest your showing of this documentary Transformed. How can the church help you, Stephen?
Well, the first thing is, we honestly, and I know this may sound fundamental, but we need to be praying.
Yes.
We need to be praying that God would be glorified. We need to be praying that people would come to their senses. We need to be praying for the protection of this church. And we need to be praying for the protection of all of us who are in this frontline ministry. Obviously, what's interesting is we are on the front line of ministry of helping people overcome all forms of sexual sin and brokenness. And we're some of the most underfunded ministries. So, of course, financial support. But we really need also for Christians to come.
Yes.
And to be courageous.
Yes.
The problem is pastors have been so, and the church at large has been so browbeaten by the LGBT community, painting the pictures by the liberal media that the church in any way communicating that homosexuality is sin and that people need be helped, they paint it with the Westboro gang picture, you know, that somehow Christians are these hateful, cruel people, you know, protesting funerals and being outrageous like the Westboro gang. But the reality is that Christians are full of the love of God. They want nothing but the best for these people. That's what I experienced when I got saved. And the reality is pastors need to be courageous and to stand up against the name-calling, the bullying, the screaming intolerance, bigot, homophobe, and, you know, the like. And so we're going to have to understand the day is past when we can just pretend like we can be in our little churches and be quiet, or else we're going to be run over by this. So pastors need to stand up and say, enough is enough. We are going to present the gospel, and we know that Jesus Christ changes lives, as is the hundreds, many hundreds of people that have come through First Stone Ministries. And when you multiply that by a network of ministries throughout the United States that are 60 strong now, we're talking thousands of people who have overcome homosexuality. And so we need to not cower back. We need to speak the truth.
Absolutely. And for those listeners who are hearing us right now in the Oklahoma City area, certainly show up. I mean, we need Christians to show up, it would seem to me, at the church to watch the documentary Transformed. It's just a wonderful movie. I've seen it already myself. And to be a presence, for the church to be a presence there when they have protesters showing up, to have God's people there maybe praising and worshiping the Lord and standing together and saying, we will not be ashamed of the gospel.
That's right. And to do that, they're going to need to go to our website, and we are RSVPing through Eventbrite. We're not charging for the event, but we are asking people to do that, to sign off on the attendance and code of conduct policy, because unfortunately, we're living in a day that we need high security and we need a watchful eye over people that would want to try to harm others.
Yes, I know. It's very, very disconcerting to understand that that is what it takes. Last summer when I was at your Restored Hope Network conference in San Diego, we encountered a lot of that, didn't we, Stephen? We had protesters.
Yeah, we really did. And we even had some people that had to be taken out by security, just a couple, but they tried to rush in at the very end.
Yes.
And so you never know. Of course, they did. They weren't there that with guns or anything, but that particular situation. But the FRC and other places, we've seen where they did come in with guns.
Right.
And they have actually shot people and hurt people. You very rarely hear this. So we do need high security, and we will have high security.
Good. Well, I encourage people to pray for you. And again, if you're in the Oklahoma City area or anywhere nearby where you can come, you can check out firststone.org. And if you're at all capable of coming to More Oklahoma for that documentary screening, I'm sure Stephen and his staff would appreciate the support. Well, Stephen Black, firststone.org, thank you, my brother, for being with us.
Thank you.
God bless you. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Irwin Brothers Entertainment's I Can Only Imagine, the untold true story of Mercy Me's Bart Millard and the power of redemption and forgiveness. I Can Only Imagine, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th, more information is available at IcanOnlyImagine.com. We're back on Janet Mefford Today from Irwin Brothers Entertainment. Comes I Can Only Imagine, the untold true story of Mercy Me's Bart Millard and the power of redemption and forgiveness. I Can Only Imagine, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters March 16th. More information is available at IcanOnlyImagine.com. Well, in light of all the sexual assault and harassment scandals that have been revealed in the last several months, the Me Too movement has gained a lot of attention. I'm sure you've seen that on social media. Time magazine awarded its Silence Breakers its coveted Person of the Year designation for highlighting the growing problem of sexual harassment and violence. And we've seen the big scandal involving the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team Larry Nassar on trial, and some of the statements from Rachel Den Hollander have really gained traction within the church. This is a topic that very much affects us as Christians, because not only do thousands of sexual abuse survivors sin among us every Sunday, but we also have faced an ongoing slew of reports about even pastors and youth workers and evangelical churches who have been arrested on sexual assault charges. It is a problem we cannot afford to ignore. How do we address it biblically? Well, we're going to talk about it today with June Hunt, founder and CEO of Hope for the Heart. And she is an author and speaker and hosts the radio programs Hope for the Heart and Hope in the Night. She will be teaching a biblical counseling intensive on sexual assault and harassment at the Hope Center here in the Dallas area on Friday and Saturday. And so we are just so glad she's with us to take some time and explore this important topic. June, so good to have you here. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. You know, when you were talking about the assault being just, it's like so pervasive. Most people don't know that, though.
Yes.
It is totally hidden. And I remember it brought me back to my first job after college. I was a youth director, and that's when I learned the statistics. 1 in 3 girls, 1 in 5 boys up to the age of 18 are victims of childhood sexual abuse.
Horrible.
And yet you tell that to someone, and they say, no, that cannot be. That cannot be. By the way, I was corrected with the statistics I had. We had a part-time policeman at our ministry, and Otis said, June, the statistics are not 1 in 4 girls. It's 1 in 3 girls.
Oh my.
It's 1 in 5 boys. And all you have to do is go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And I was amazed. It was so sad, because so many times I would be in confidential conversations with youth. And indeed, there were things that had happened to them, whether it's in their families or, you know, by somebody in the responsible, quote-unquote, position who was irresponsible.
Yes.
So it's huge that you're addressing this. It's truly vital.
Well, it really is. And for example, I mentioned the name Larry Nassar and this scandal. Mm. So many people involved, so many girls involved in this particular trial that got a lot of media attention.
Yes.
What is your reaction, just from your vantage point in ministry and all of the people that you've dealt with over the years and counseled regarding sexual abuse? How did you react to that particular story?
I may be a rare person, but I would say grateful.
Yeah.
So grateful.
Yeah.
That it's come out. The person you've talked about, Rachel Den Hollander. Now, she was a gymnast, and at age 15, she went to doctor, you know, and a doctor. I mean, I love doctors. I'm grateful for doctors. This is not the norm for doctors. So this is not a blight against the medical profession, but it's an abuse of power. So she said that when she started going to him for some pain, he clearly sexually abused her. And you know, when you think about the year 2000 was the first time, 2018, she was the last of the testaments to give. She gave testimony. Basically, it was more than 150 victims. They are survivors, but that doesn't mean they're all whole. They're not all healed yet.
Right.
And in fact, they have said that in their testimony. but it's extraordinary to realize. Listen to what she said. I pray you, and this is, now she's looking at Larry Nassar. I pray you experience the soul-crushing weight of guilt so you may someday experience true repentance mm-hmm. and true forgiveness from God, which you need far more than forgiveness from me, though I extend it to you as well. So she, her focus was very clear. By the way, she's a lawyer, and
yes.
that's what she does today,
yes.
is she's an advocate for victims of abuse, sexual abuse, when they're typically not believed at all. And I think that's the stunning part, which I know you would agree with me is horrendous, because even when people finally speak out, it's like, you imagined it, or no, that's, you're just wrong, or you're just wanting media attention.
Yes.
You know, and Rachel was accused of all kinds of things, and yet she maintained her composure. She's a strong Christian. Her husband is at Southeastern Seminary. No, let's see, Southern Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
They're a godly couple, but the thing is, it will impact her life forever. And so what we have to realize is, this isn't just about gymnastics. This is in all facets of life, experienced in terms of the victims, experienced in all areas that you even would no more think could possibly be, where it'd be prevalent. That's why we need to understand the truth about sexual harassment, and what do you do about it if you're being harassed? What do you do if you have been assaulted, sexual assault? They're different, but we need to understand what do you do?
Absolutely. Well, you've touched on something, June, that I think is very important, and that is the skepticism that sometimes crops up. And this, unfortunately, can happen in the church as well. I mean, Rachel Denhollander spoke out about the Sovereign Grace Ministries scandal, and there was a whole fallout over that. And that was a big scandal. There was a class action lawsuit that was filed several years ago. I covered that story quite extensively. But what do you think really drives the skepticism? I'm not denying that perhaps there may be some false accusations lobbed in the course of, you know, a fallen world, but why is it that there tends to be skepticism when somebody comes forward and says someone sexually harassed me or somebody was sexually violent toward me?
Well, if you think about what would a person want to achieve, if a person is wanting impact, notoriety, or in the case of the Olympics, medals, no, you know, high number of winning athletes, if you have money, there can be a shutting down, a payoff, so-and-so, so that these people are not held accountable.
Right.
Whether, you know, it's like the assumption is, I can buy my way out of this. We saw this in our United States, the Congress. So they have a slush fund for this, you know,
yes.
for accusations. Well, this is not holding people accountable. And so what we have to understand is it doesn't matter the minor status, whether it's age or the apparent, in fact, sometimes it is an issue of I'm entitled to do this because of my position. I have a right, even though it's wrong, but it's like, no, I don't see it as wrong. It just meets a need for me at the moment.
Yeah.
So typically, you know, it's like rape is not about sex. It's about power.
Sure.
And so as long as we understand this isn't a man's need being met, if that were the case, then Jesus would have to have been finding someone to satisfy his quote-unquote need as a male. And all the males who were single, there can be a desire. We all have at times a desire for something that is actually forbidden by God.
Right.
And so we say, no, I will not go there. So we have to be very careful even of our understanding of quote unquote needs, even though you're going to hear, oh, man has a need. Men have needs for sex. No, there can be a desire, but we have to be very, very careful about misunderstanding what a true need is.
Absolutely. Well, June Hunt with us from Hope for the Heart. We're going to come back on Janet Mefford Today right after this. Don't go away.
From Affirm Films, the studio that brought you Risen and War Room, comes Paul, Apostle of Christ. Two men challenged an empire in order to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread their message to the world.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Starring Jim Caviezel. Paul, Apostle of Christ. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters March 23rd. More information is available at paulmovie.com.
This is Janet Mefford for Trinity Debt Management, a nonprofit Christian organization that helps people get out of debt. Here is John's story.
When our daughter Emma was born, my wife and I took a hard look at our finances for the first time, and we didn't like what we saw. My wife suggested that I call Trinity. Immediately when I spoke with the counselor for the first time, she was very helpful and put us on a plan for success. Right away, we knew we'd called the right place. We just want everyone out there who might be in our situation to know that there's help.
If credit card debt has you down, Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees, and reduce your interest rate by up to 60%. Save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. Trinity provides practical solutions and creates hope for tomorrow. Call Trinity at 1-800-793-8752. That's 1-800-793-8752. 1-800-793-8752.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine. The untold true story of Mercy Me's Bart Millard and the power of redemption and forgiveness.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him. I didn't think that God could do that.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. More information is available at IcanOnlyImagine.com.
We are back on Janet Mefford Today, reminding you we are still supporting Alliance Defending Freedom. They are doing a tremendous job every day standing up for our religious liberty and standing against government punishing private citizens because they don't like their beliefs. Your gift to the Freedom Fund today is urgently needed. We are looking for 15 more listeners who are able to give a $100 gift or more, and your gift will be matched dollar for dollar if you can give today. 866-700-1060 is the number to call. 866-700-1060, or there is a banner to click at janetmefford.com. Thank you so much. Well, we are delighted to have with us on the broadcast again today June Hunt, founder of Hope for the Heart. You hear her on Hope in the Night and Hope for the Heart on the radio. And she will be teaching a biblical counseling intensive on sexual assault and harassment at the Hope Center in the Dallas area on Friday and Saturday. If you're in the Dallas area, be sure to come to that. But June, we've been talking about this problem of sexual violence and sexual harassment. One of the things that you've mentioned as we were discussing this in the last segment was the question that many girls will have, often girls, but also boys, is what do you do if you're sexually harassed, if somebody, assaults you, such as in the case of Rachel Denhollander and those victims of Larry Nassar? What do you recommend someone does if they find themselves in that situation?
Look, you know, there are people who say, I don't know what to do. This guy, you know, I'm at the water cooler. Yeah, I'm at work, and he'll all of a sudden start saying uncomfortable words to me, talking about me sexually, wishing he could do something with me at night in bed, you know, these things. And typically what people do is they shy away. They just try to avoid. You could be direct and say, now, this is going to be a little... It may be uncomfortable. Like, I'm not highly confrontive, but I wouldn't shy away from saying louder than I would normally speak, I can't believe you said that. What would your wife say if she knew that you said that?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, with other people being able to hear, that can quickly shut down a person from targeting you again.
Yes.
One thing that you can't, if you say, well, you know, it was over, I was so stunned. In fact, that just happened to me the other day. Somebody said, I was so stunned, and I just, you know, and it was a business thing, and they were saying goodbye, and all of a sudden, and then she didn't know. It's like totally taken aback, because these are two professionals, and she called him the next day and said, don't you ever do that to me again, and never do that to anyone else.
Good.
Well, you know, we need to find our voice. We need to say something. And that's where often it's like, well, I don't know what to say. Well, I'm not sure what to do. Truthfully, I'll tell you what would really be best. And this is what every parent can do. If you think about, you know, so often this is way after the fact, after it's happened several times in uncomfortable situations, a kid finds himself or herself in. Years ago, I developed, Janet, a language. Most parents don't do anything because they don't know what to do because nothing was done for them. Nothing was said to them how to protect themselves. So we have, even in our material on childhood sexual abuse, how do you protect children? In other words, it's called protection power. And I suggest this language, because I wrote this out because I knew if people who are parents, or even it works for grandparents, it works for aunts and uncles to literally say this in case you think the parents haven't done this. You say, and the reason that I'm going to give this to you is many children do not know they have permission to take action to protect themselves. Sometimes they don't even realize at the moment what's happening, and then they can become too frightened to quickly react. And since here's a problem, most children are taught, obey your elders. Did you hear that growing up, Janet?
Sure, of course.
Okay, I did too. And there was no qualification. It's just obey your elders. And an elder can be somebody a year older. So they need to be empowered to protect themselves from anyone who would be intrusive. This is what the parents could say. And usually they're going, oh, I can't get into this stuff. I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to talk about sex. Okay. All right. God loves you and made your body with a special plan and purpose. If you're asked to do something you think is wrong, say no. No, even to an older relative or friend of the family.
Right.
Then come tell me if the no worked or not. Now here, Janet, it would be role-playing. Hey, I want you to say no right now. And they'll go, no, let's really get into it. Say no. Do it with strength. No. Now they're smiling. No, let's do it again. No. Okay. Now, your body belongs to you, and you decide who touches it. The parts of your body, this is the key part, the parts of your body covered by a bathing suit are private.
Right.
Never allow anyone to touch your private parts unless it's for medical reasons and a parent is present.
Good.
If someone tries to touch your private parts, scream and run to a safe place. If someone tries to touch your private parts and says it's okay, they're wrong. You must tell me or someone you trust. If a person doesn't stop touching you, you say, I'll tell if you don't stop. Then tell me or someone else when you're safe. If someone threatens you, don't be afraid. Tell anyway. If you're asked to keep the touching a secret, tell anyway. If the person you tell doesn't believe you, keep telling. No matter how you feel, keep telling until someone believes you. And here's the last one. Pray to have a safe adult you can trust, someone who is not a member of the family, to help you. And then give them this one short little scripture. You say, would you like to please God? And every kid, I mean, it's so interesting. People say yes. Okay. Proverbs 1:10 says, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them.
Okay.
And just write it down. If sinners entice you, do not give in to them. So they know that their body is made by God. designed by God for a plan and purpose, and they hear that they have private parts covered by the bathing suit. No one should touch them
yes.
in that area. So, you know, it's designed for marriage. So it's a wonderful opportunity, and any parent who feels uncomfortable can actually do this.
For sure. You know, when you were describing that, June, one of the things I thought is that's exactly what we tell our kids to do in a case of stranger danger. If you're walking down the street and somebody comes up and says, hey, little girl, come get in the car. I have a lollipop. You scream and you run away and you look for a safe adult mm-hmm. to tell. And this is so important because of those numbers. And I'm sure the numbers for sexual abuse are way higher than the numbers of kids who are ever kidnapped by stranger danger. That's the irony
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are myths that are absolutely false. So, and I know I've heard men say this, that this is one myth. Women secretly want to be raped. No, that's a lie. No one wants to be the victim of a violent criminal act.
No.
No one wants to be violated sexually and emotionally by another person. In fact, the Bible even says in Ezekiel 45, give up your violence and oppression and do what is just and right. And there's another, we're going to cover a whole bunch of myths in the seminar we're doing, but rape isn't committed if it's, as long as there's mutual consent. And even if a person's a minor. No. You know, it's, many people just don't even know the law.
Right.
But silence of child victims of rape, that doesn't imply consent, nor even if something's happening to a child, someone who is an adult will be tried by court if it is found out. And so, you know, interesting, in Psalm 39:2 says, so I remained utterly silent, but my anguish increased. Mm. So just because somebody is silent doesn't mean that any kind of act like this is welcome.
Yes,
so,
June, that's good.
And the third one, and I'll mention this real quickly because you'll hear this.
Yeah, we're running out of time, June. We're running out
okay.
of time. I'm so sorry. Well,
that's
you know
okay.
what?
That's okay.
I know. It comes so, so fast, those breaks. But hopefortheheart.org is the website. People can check it out and find out more about June's Biblical Counseling Intensive coming up Friday and Saturday. Such good stuff. Well, June Hunt, thank you so much for being here. June, always a pleasure.
Blessing to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. And thank you for being with us here on Janet Mefford Today. We'll see you next time.